I moved away when I was 11. So I moved out to Western New York, Rochester, New York. My dad got a new gig out there. He was a lifetime Mainer. And yeah, I moved back here like 7 or 8 years ago to take a sales job. The lady said, "I'll help transition the business if the guy's a Mainer." And my dad said, "You're a Mainer." So my girlfriend at the time came with me. It was like 2 degree day on January 3rd, and we haven't left since.
So, how long have you been writing?
Well, I mean, on the back of my thing, it says, they asked, the publisher I used asked if I had any awards for writing. And I've been entering short story contests and whatnot for excuse me, probably 4 or 5 years. And just nothing hit, and eventually I just said I'm gonna do it on my own. But the last award I won was in fifth grade, so I guess since fifth
Well,
grade,
yes, you've been writing for a while then. Well,
yeah, I guess yeah, some breaks in between, but yeah, I've always had an inkling towards it, and English was certainly by far my best subject. Everything else could pretty much go in the toilet.
I feel like the short story format is making a comeback too. I saw recently a Richard Russo, who's had great success with novels, has come out with a collection of short stories, and the short story has come back.
I think so. I mean, for me, it was, I don't know. I mean, I just started kind of ripping them off. I mean, I think early when I hit writing again really hard here in my 30s, I put together somewhat of a novel. I haven't looked at it in years, but the short story, I just kind of got addicted to that. I mean, recently, I don't know if you've ever heard of Raymond Carver.
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
that's the
Yeah.
guy, I mean, that's the guy. I finished one of his stories on like early January this year. And I said, I think I'm gonna do this. And then I kind of put together a playlist of out of about 25 stories. And it, almost like I was, putting together like an album. And I came up with like seven or eight. And then I was like, well, I got those. Those are all good. I know that. And then I think I ripped off like two more and just got right to it. And those are the 10 that are in.
The book is called Chasing Butterflies and Other Stories. And yeah, now that you mention it, there is definitely a hint of Raymond Carver in these stories. These are some hard characters that you write about in this collection.
Yeah, I mean, I had people, a lot of family and friends bought the book. And I think I peaked at 80, number 82 on Amazon and the category was self-help and psychology humor,
Wow.
which I don't know how. I mean, I didn't set out to write a book like that, and I don't think it's, the main theme, but I had good support from family and friends. So I peaked at 82, I think, and now I'm back in the thousands. But long story short, I mean, I had a couple friends kind of like check in with me, like, are you doing okay? And I think people don't realize, I mean, there's obviously a certain amount of tragedy behind the book that pushed this book, but this is just the stuff I like to read, man. I mean, I like other stuff too. I mean, I try to diversify myself. I try to read some nonfiction, and but I mean, that's my playground is the last year and a half. I mean, compact shelving at the Bangor Public Library. They always know when I come in, I'm coming up to them, and it's going to be a book from, 1965. And it's just, I was just eating those things all year, and that's what was found in the book. And yeah, I do like, hey, I like my neighborhood bar just like the next guy, but yeah, I'm doing okay, family and friends.
We're talking with Corey McGee. Well, you hooked me with the opening story in the book, the title story, Chasing Butterflies, and the significance of that title is something that stays with you.
Yeah, I mean, that story, I think I tried to do. Oh, goodness. I mean, we lost our daughter just over a year ago. And we lost her, right at birth. And hardest thing I've ever been through, and I've been a really fortunate guy my whole life. But yeah, it's been a hell of a year. But I took probably 2 months and really couldn't do much of anything. And then when I started getting back into the reading and writing, it was kind of like I was just like, all right, instead of going 65 like I was going, I'm gonna go 100, and I don't care if I get pulled over. And it, like that's, you know, 7 or 8 of the stories in the book were written after she passed. But that particular story, I tried to do multiple times, and just none of them were right. And then I did that one maybe around like November, and I'm like, well, that's it. That's the one, because when she passed, I mean, my wife was like, of course, she's in the hospital, but she's like, you need help, like Matt, like you need help. And I'm 38, and ever since I got done playing college basketball, I've never wanted to go to the doctor. It's just been a thing, but like she was the one who was like, we got to get you in right away, you know? And I also found, you know, so I got help via the doctor and got set up on good plans just because you need it. I knew that was the only way I could swim. I mean, it was literally, I knew what was on the line. And then I also found a group that's actually based in Maine called the Sad Dads Club, that was born out of Southern Maine with three guys who all lost their daughters, you know, right at birth, just like we did. And I go to, you know, meetings with them every Thursday. So the story really is about a guy who did none of what I did. Now, I'm not perfect. My wife will tell you that, but I mean, I wanted to attack like the mental health side of it and dig into how bad things can go if you don't, you know, put your foot down for yourself or have somebody help you make you do that, like my wife did. Things can go badly when stuff hits the fan.
Well, and there is, as you would expect, a lot of loss in these stories, but some redemption and a lot of hope as well. And they were all so good, but a couple that really stood out to me. Man, I thought it was so powerful and so poignant, the story of the squirrel catcher.
I mean, I was sending the kind of table of contents to family and friends before it came out. And I'm a reader. Yeah, I'm a writer, but I'm also a jock, you know, by trade. I'm 6'7", 245, you know, so I was put on the basketball court. I love hoops. I love all that stuff. But I was sending that to some of my more like, don't want to show emotion kind of friends, and they're like, what kind of name for a story is this? And the squirrel catcher, that is Raymond Carver. That is my ode to Raymond Carver right there. And I thought it was kind of a, I didn't know how it was, and then I went back and read it, and I think it was actually the last story that made the book, because I was like, I think I had 8 or 9, and I'm like, this has to go in. This is good, and it's probably got the most reaction out of people, which I'm surprised about.
Well, and so many of the stories too, when all hope seems lost, help from unexpected sources and our fellow man, and that really comes through in the great story that closes the book. We talked about it before we came on the air. The YMCA down the street from the clinic, as a guy who played pickup basketball regularly into my 50s. Man, I know those people. I know some of those characters and the relationships that you talk about in that story, and it rings so true.
Yeah, and that guy is a guy named Buck who appears in the story prior, who's a bartender by trade and kind of floating through life. And he eventually moves to Rochester, New York, which I lived there for a long time, and plays at a pickup game with some unsavory characters. All the guys are divorced. All the guys, you I don't know if you'd want them over at your 4th of July barbecue or not, but they all have a little bit of heart, and they all show up for one another. And yeah, there's a particular locker room scene which I think guys like you and Mitch, you and me, Rich, could really appreciate and find pretty hilarious. Definitely in the PG-13 to probably rated R on that scene, but it was fun to write.
And among the great characters, too, that show up in a number of stories, Begley and Tommy Sheridan. And as I read those, I thought about how cinematic these stories are and how I could certainly see the stories of either Begley or Tom Sheridan being turned into a movie or a TV series. They're just, man, you can feel those rooms, you can smell them, you can sense the place.
Yeah, Begley, I loved writing. A guy named Richard Stark, which was a pen name from a guy named Donald Westlake.
Right.
He had a famous character named Parker, and he was a thief. And Parker is great, and I love Parker, and I love Richard Stark. He's one of my favorites. But the one thing about Parker is, like, there's not a ton of comedy in the Parker books, and I like that. But like with the Begley books, he's definitely a bit aloof, and I think along with a lot of the darkness, which there's certainly that. I mean, especially in the first one, Tick Tick Boom, where he's taking care of his mother, he's already lost his dad quite brutally. There's still a lot of comedy, and Begley was definitely bred out of Parker from Richard Stark.
The book is available locally in Bangor. Our friend Jabron Graham offering it up at the Briar Patch. You can get it, of course, from the big national outlets, but wherever you can find it, get your hands on Chasing Butterflies and Other Stories by Corey McGee, a terrific collection. Corey, great talking with you.